Welcome to this Touch podcast activity, which has been recorded for Touch Oncology. This podcast aims to bring you expert perspectives from a multidisciplinary team on the management of chronic myeloid leukemia in the later line setting. Specialists in the MDT involved in caring for patients with CML share their perspectives on the later line treatment options, minimizing toxicities, and maximizing quality of life in patients with the disease. Financial support for this medical educational activity has been provided to Touch IME by an educational grant from Novartis. In this podcast, a hematologist, a patient advocate, and a nurse specialist consider real-life perspectives from patients with chronic myeloid leukemia and what HCPs can learn from them to improve outcomes.
Hello, my name is Andreas Hochhaus. I'm head of the Department of Hematology and Medical Oncology at Jena University Hospital in Jena in Germany. I'm joined today by Jelena Zhugorovic. She is a patient advocate from Serbia and a steering committee member of the CML Advocates Network and also of the CML Association of Serbia. And I'm joined again by Johan de Munter. He is a nurse manager at the Cancer Center at the University Hospital Ghent in Belgium and president of the European Oncology Nursing Society. And we want to discuss the topic today, what is the role from patients in CML? What can we learn from the patients with CML in real life perspectives to improve outcomes? And in my daily practice, I try to bring patients together, of course, if they agree. And if I have my CML clinic here, I have lots of patients sitting outside. And if I see a newly diagnosed patient, I ask other experienced patients if they can sit with them. I give them a cup of coffee, and these newly diagnosed patients feels immediately much better because he sees how CML can be managed and how the outcome is if an experienced patient gives some advice, some hints, but also shows how you can live and deal with this difficult disease. And actually, to give a perspective how to manage this disease in daily life. Jelena, what do you think? What do you do to improve the knowledge and the outcome of CML patients in your daily practice?
Thank you, Professor Hochhaus, for introducing me and for being part of this discussion, because I think it is very important to hear from a patient perspective what can we really do. The first time when you are newly diagnosed, the first and the only sentence, or actually the only word that you hear from your doctor is leukemia. The first thought you have is, I'm going to die tomorrow. So I think that our role as patient advocates and as patients is to be at the right place on the right time. So what you do with newly diagnosed patients, when you introduce them to experienced ones, that's the best thing you can do for every patient. The second thing is what we need to do. We need to be the first one on Google when you search leukemia. So we should be the place where to find the best information. Because as you all know, there are hundreds of information about different kinds of leukemias, different cancers, and so on. So we need to be the first ones the patients will look for, because we are the ones who have best information and the right information. So when they go home, when they deal with the diagnosis, they start speaking with their families, and most of the family members think the same as patients, you are going to die. So, and then when they realize they're having CML, and when they meet other patients, they realize they can have a very nice quality of life, long life, and that they can be treated with good drugs. So it's not the same having different kinds of leukemias. So I think that we need to work very, very hard on being the ones that will approach the patients, newly diagnosed patients, as soon as possible. Because sharing the stories and seeing other patients live for 5, 10, some of them even 20 years now, is the best strength we can give them.
No, absolutely. Johan, you have a lot of discussions with patients. Is this your experience as well, that they bring a lot from the internet, which is not, which has not a solid background? And how do you deal with such discussions?
Thank you very much. I think, first of all, it's tremendously important to have and to emphasize the peer support that patients can give to each other, and also the patient advice groups that they can bring in for patients. And also that is one of the role of the nurses, for example, is to bring patients together if they mutually agree to meet each other and to support each other. But also if it's come to information, a lot of information that patients bring in, they tell us, they come to us and they say, like, we find it. So there it's important that we can help them to find the right sources, what's evidence-based, and so that we can build up together, for example, a good patient information and registry. Therefore, I would say, like, it's tremendously important to include patients. For example, if we develop information guides for patients, but even, for example, in research, it's important that we include patients, for example, to get the right research proposal question, but also the little tips and tricks that patients provide. For example, if patients saying, like, it was already mentioned, eating chocolate, for example, but sometimes it's better for my stomach. And if we see that several times, we can think about a good research question about this, of course. And we can think about, is this really helpful? Check it with evidence-based knowledge that's available. And then we have, like, good patient-based and clinical information we can provide to our patients and to support the overall quality of life for our patients.
What I observe currently is that clinical trials are getting more and more complicated, and it's a big effort to participate in clinical trials. Of course, there is a lot of gain of efficacy and a reduction of side effects with newer drugs, but I think the patient advocates have a major role in controlling the pharmaceutical companies and also ourselves, that means the doctors, designing clinical trials to make it more patient friendly. If you see new data coming, results of clinical trials, how do you digest this new data? That means to make the message patient friendly, that everybody understands the message from a clinical trial.
It is very hard, especially in working with different surroundings. Data from the clinical trials are different in West Europe, where you have everything available and where you can, you know, distribute this information in a patient-friendly language. So you can say this drug is better for this and this drug is better for that. And if you have this issue, use this drug, not this drug. And if you have this mutation, you go to ponatinib, not to, I don't know, nilotinib. But distributing this information in Eastern European countries, in African countries, in Asia countries is like speaking about something you are going to fly to the moon. So when exactly we are going to fly to the moon? So I think I just want to point out something. There is a difference between resistance to the drug and intolerance to the drug. And the difference when you can treat patients with everything you have on the market and with different, where you just have two or three drugs. So there is a difference in everyone's position, how to talk with a patient.
I think we discuss a lot the point of treatment-free remission. You mentioned it already. But on the other hand, we see patients who have not an optimal response to the therapy and need alternative therapies, and not only second line, but also third line of therapy. What is your position in the discussion with the patient if they are disappointed that they cannot reach treatment-free remission, but need alternative drugs for the therapy? That means one point is overjudged in the discussion, but the other point is really important for this individual patient.
You know, it is very hard. Newly diagnosed patients, when we talk about patients diagnosed in the last few years, They want everything, and they want to go to the treatment-free remission now. And then you have those patients who are on the drugs for 15 years and 20 years who experience not having any future, and they're satisfied and happy with having 10 or 15 or 20 years with their families, and they are perfectly fine with having any drug and drinking any drug. And they are not so keen to going to TFR. And now it is very hard in CML to determine how to speak with each patient individually because their positions are different. And how to treat each patient individually depending on how old they are, how many comorbidities they have, and so on. So if they go to second line, and then you are faced to why I'm not working with that drug, why I'm maybe the only one who is not, who is changing the therapy. And then you realize, again, you have leukemia. And then for those who go to third line or maybe look for fourth line even, they are faced to having leukemia for second or third or fourth line, fourth time. And they experience some very big issues because they ask themselves, why I'm not working? Why my CML is not working? And then you have very important psychological issues with these patients, which is somewhere the same like why I can't go to TFR.
Yeah. Johan, do you involve patient advocates in your multidisciplinary team, which usually consists of a nurse specialist, a doctor, other specialists, for instance, cardiologists and also psychologists? Are patient advocates advising you in your work?
Yes, in our center, we are involving the patient advocate group, especially for hematology. We have a big network of patient advocate groups. And I think what a patient advocate can bring us also to the patient, to your previous question, was like they can help other patients to ask the right questions in difficult situations. What is going on? Because on the internet, you mostly find a lot of forums that describing what's going wrong, but also patient advocates can emphasize the importance to ask like what questions you need to involve. And this can increase the involvement in decision-making by a patient advocate for other new patients. And when they are switching or when things are going wrong, or when it's not as good and the outcome is not so good, this is where patient advocates can help and patient support groups can help. And therefore, I think it's very important that we include them in a multidisciplinary team.
I think we learned a lot in the discussions with patient advocates. From it, from my experience, it was very beautiful to see patient advocates growing in the CML. And some of them are now very experienced after 20 years being patient advocates. Jelena, I would like to thank you and congratulate you to all your work you did in the past, not only you, but all the patient advocates worldwide. And I thank you very much for this very interesting discussion.
Thank you, Professor. And thank you, Johan.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this Touch podcast. You can access more content on this topic on Touch Oncology at www.touchoncology.com. Don't forget, there are three other chapters in this series, so please listen in for further insights from the multidisciplinary team.